Hello, and welcome to Tales for Life. In each episode of this podcast, we'll explore a folk or fairy tale from a different culture or region and discover the life lessons, values, and morals they offer that we can use today. Join me on the journey through the magical and meaningful world of folk and fairy tales. Welcome back to another episode of Tales for Life, the podcast that journeys through life one tale at a time. Today's episode takes us on a trip to the China of centuries ago with an important message that's evergreen. It's an episode I've titled, Positive Change Takes Sincere Effort. The end of the year is often the time when we start thinking about turning over a new leaf or making a change in our lives. In reality, we never need to wait for a special occasion and can decide to make a positive change anytime. Maybe it's spring, or it just rained yesterday, or the sky is looking beautiful today. Whatever reason or stimulus works to put us on the path to being better, it's never a bad time to start. But there's a catch. It's not easy. Changing behavior or patterns of action isn't like flicking the switch and turning on a light. We spoke in episode 19 about there being no shortcuts. Well, behavior changes are no different. Anytime you want to change out one way of acting or behavior for another, it's not going to happen overnight. And it's not going to be easy. But, and this might be the most important but of all, it can be done. All it takes is sincere effort. If there was ever a topic that could be reinforced by a tale, this one is it. And our forefathers didn't disappoint. This amusing story from China was written down before the turn of the 20th century by Andrew Lang in his Green Fairy Book, but was undoubtedly circulating throughout China long before that. It's titled, The Story of Hok Lee and the Dwarfs. There once lived in a small town in China a man named Hok Lee. He was a steady, industrious man, who not only worked hard at his trade, but did all his own housework as well, for he had no wife to do it for him. "What an excellent, industrious man is this Hok Lee," said his neighbors. "How hard he works. He never leaves his house to amuse himself or to take a holiday as others do." But Hok Lee was by no means the virtuous person his neighbors thought him. True, he worked hard enough by day, but at night, when all respectable folk were fast asleep, he used to steal out and join a dangerous band of robbers who broke into rich people's houses and carried off all they could lay hands on. This state of things went on for some time, and, though a thief was caught now and then and punished, no suspicion ever fell on Hok Lee. He was such a very respectable, hard-working man. Hok Lee had already amassed a good store of money as his share of the proceeds of these robberies, when it happened one morning on going to market. Then a neighbor said to him, "Why, Hok Lee, what is the matter with your face? One side of it is all swelled up." True enough, Hok Lee's right cheek was twice the size of his left, and it soon began to feel very uncomfortable. "I will bind up my face," said Hok Lee. "Doubtless the warmth will cure the swelling." But no such thing. Next day, it was worse. And day by day it grew bigger and bigger till it was nearly as large as his head and became very painful. Hok Lee was at his wits' ends what to do. Not only was his cheek unsightly and painful, but his neighbors began to jeer and make fun of him, which hurt his feelings very much indeed. One day, as luck would have it, a traveling doctor came to the town. He sold not only all kinds of medicine, but also dealt in many strange charms against witches and evil spirits. Hawk Lee determined to consult him and asked him into his house. After the doctor had examined him carefully, he spoke thus, "This, O Hawk Lee, is no ordinary swelled face. I strongly suspect you have been doing some wrong deed which has called down the anger of the spirits on you. None of my drugs will avail to cure you, but if you are willing to pay me handsomely, I can tell you how you may be cured." Then Hawk Lee and the doctor began to bargain together, and it was a long time before they could come to terms. However, the doctor got the better of it in the end, for he was determined not to part with his secret under a certain price, and Hawk Lee had no mind to carry his huge cheek about with him to the end of his days. So he was obliged to part with the greater portion of his ill-gotten gains. When the doctor had pocketed the money, he told Hawk Lee to go on the first night of the full moon to a certain wood and there to watch by a particular tree. After a time, he would see the dwarfs and little sprites who live underground come out to dance. When they saw him, they would be sure to make him dance too. "And mind you dance your very best," added the doctor. "If you dance well and please them, they will grant you a petition, and then you can beg to be cured. But if you dance badly, they will most likely do you some mischief out of spite." With that, he took leave and departed. Happily, the first night of the full moon was near, and at the proper time Hawk Lee set out for the wood. With a little trouble, he found the tree the doctor had described, and, feeling nervous, he climbed up into it. He had hardly settled himself on a branch when he saw the little dwarfs assembling in the moonlight. They came from all sides, till at length there appeared to be hundreds of them. They seemed in high glee, and danced and skipped and capered about, whilst Hawk Lee grew so eager watching them that he crept further and further along his branch, till at last it gave a loud crack. All the dwarfs stood still, and Hawk Lee felt as if his heart stood still also. Then one of the dwarfs called out, "Someone is up in that tree. Come down at once, whoever you are, or we must come and fetch you." In great terror, Hawk Lee proceeded to come down. But he was so nervous that he tripped near the ground and came rolling down in the most absurd manner. When he had picked himself up, he came forward with a low bow, and the dwarf who had first spoken and who appeared to be the leader said, "Now then, who art thou, and what brings thee here?" So Hawk Lee told him the sad story of his swelled cheek, and how he had been advised to come to the forest and beg the dwarfs to cure him. "It is well," replied the dwarf. "We will see about that. First, however, thou must dance before us. Should thy dancing please us, perhaps we may be able to do something. But shouldst thou dance badly, we shall assuredly punish thee. So now take warning and dance away." With that, he and all the other dwarfs sat down in a large ring, leaving Hawk Lee to dance alone in the middle. He felt half frightened to death, and besides was a good deal shaken by his fall from the tree, and did not feel at all inclined to dance. But the dwarfs were not to be trifled with. "Begin!" cried their leader, and "Begin!" shouted the rest in chorus. So in despair, Hawk Lee began. First he hopped on one foot, and then on the other, but he was so stiff and so nervous that he made but a poor attempt, and after a time sank down on the ground and vowed he could dance no more. The dwarves were very angry. They crowded around Hawk Lee and abused him. "Thou to come here and to be cured indeed," they cried. "Thou hast brought one big cheek with thee, but thou shalt take away two." And with that they ran off and disappeared, leaving Hawk Lee to find his way home as best he might. He hobbled away, weary and depressed, and not a little anxious on account of the dwarf's threat. Nor were his fears unfounded, for when he rose next morning, his left cheek was swelled up as big as his right, and he could hardly see out of his eyes. Hawk Lee felt in despair, and his neighbors jeered at him more than ever. The doctor, too, had disappeared, so there was nothing for it but to try the dwarves once more. He waited a full month till the first night of the full moon came round again, and then he trudged back to the forest and sat down under the tree from which he had fallen. He had not long to wait. Ere long, the dwarves came trooping out till all were assembled. "I don't feel quite easy," said one. "I feel as if some horrid human being were near us." When Hok Lee heard this, he came forward and bent down to the ground before the dwarves, who came crowding round, and laughed heartily at his comical appearance with his two big cheeks.
"What dost thou want?" they asked.
And Hok Lee proceeded to tell them of his fresh misfortunes, and begged so hard to be allowed one more trial at dancing that the dwarves consented, for there is nothing they love so much as being amused. Now Hok Lee knew how much depended on his dancing well, so he plucked up a good spirit and began, first quite slowly and faster by degrees, and he danced so well and gracefully and made such new and wonderful steps that the dwarves were quite delighted with him. They clapped their tiny hands and shouted, "Well done, Hok Lee, well done! Go on, dance more, for we are pleased." And Hok Lee danced on and on, till he really could dance no more and was obliged to stop. Then the leader of the dwarves said, "We are well pleased, Hok Lee, and as a recompense for thy dancing, thy face shall be cured. Farewell." With these words, he and the other dwarfs vanished, and Hok Lee, putting his hands to his face, found to his great joy that his cheeks were reduced to their natural size. The way home seemed short and easy to him, and he went to bed happy and resolved never to go out robbing again. Next day, the whole town was full of the news of Hawk's sudden cure. His neighbors questioned him, but could get nothing from him except the fact that he had discovered a wonderful cure for all kinds of diseases. After a time, a rich neighbor, who had been ill for some years, came and offered to give Hok Lee a large sum of money if he would tell him how he might be cured. Hok Lee consented on condition that he swore to keep the secret. He did so, and Hok Lee told him of the dwarfs and their dances. The neighbor went off, carefully obeyed Hok Lee's directions, and was duly cured by the dwarfs. Then another and another came to Hok Lee to beg his secret, and from each he extracted a vow of secrecy and a large sum of money. This went on for some years, so that at length Hok Lee became a very wealthy man, and ended his days in peace and prosperity. I really, really enjoy this story because it offers so many lessons that we can take with us and remember by remembering the story. The first of which is that sooner or later, who you are on the inside will show up on the outside. Just as I discussed in episode 20, you can't hide your character forever. It's going to shine through. And if your character is bad, don't expect it to come shining through like a glorious flower. It won't. As the old adage goes, you reap what you sow. But the focus of this episode is on the second and more important lesson in this story. True change takes sincere effort. When Hok Lee first goes to the dance before the dwarves, his dancing is, in a word, awful. That is, he's not sincere in his efforts, and as a result, he doesn't get what he's after. This line of thought isn't limited to asking for favors, but in everything we do. Giving any endeavor less than a sincere effort is going to result in failure. And what happens when there is that sincere effort? Success. Because Hok Lee wasn't cured the first time, he had to try again. And while the story doesn't mention it, we can assume the month in between dance attempts wasn't spent doing nothing. Hok Lee was most certainly practicing to make sure his dance steps were going to please the dwarfs. And not just because he wanted to literally, save face, but also because the price of failure was something he didn't want to consider. Going back to dance a third time probably wasn't going to happen. If we stopped here, we would have enough. Yet I want to point out one more lesson from this story. At the end, not only is Hockley cured, but he uses his knowledge and new character to help others. He eventually becomes the hard-working, good man that others believed him to be at the beginning. And he prospers, even more so than when he was a robber. Making positive changes in your life takes sincere effort, and likely over a period of time. There will be challenges, but these are the very things that help shape and solidify who we want to be. The story of Hock Lee shows us that when we put in genuine effort and remain persistent, not only can we grow personally, but we can also make a positive impact on others. As you move forward, focus on giving your all in everything you do. Learn from your mistakes, stay dedicated to your goals, and let your true, improved self shine through. Thanks for tuning in, have a fantastic week, and keep striving for that positive change. I'll catch you next time on Tales for Life.